You're going to love this. Just love it.
Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Couldn't be happier about it. This is Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen blogger, sitting in this afternoon, today, and tomorrow for the mighty Peter B. Collins, who's on vacation somewhere. Rumor has it he's in Miami. Be careful down there. I'm broadcasting, happy to say, from Phoenix, Arizona, 1480 KPHX, the Nova M flagship station. This is the flagship station, isn't it, Ian? Flagship station. We got a hell of a show for you coming for the next 3 hours. I hope you'll stay tuned out here. We've got, who do we have coming up? Man, we got more than we can fit in 3 hours. Tell Malloy he can come in an hour late tonight. Let him know. All right, we've got coming up very shortly, we're going to have Congressman Maurice Hinchey from New York talk about the Fairness Doctrine. We're going to have John Aravosis from AmericaBlog.com. We're going to have David Swanson talking about yesterday's hearings in the House. He was there. John Conyers' hearings on signing statements. We're going to have John Gideon talking about daily voting news. We're going to have, who do we have? Someone from VoteVets.org. It's not John Soltz. We've got to figure out someone had to replace him at the last second. We're going to have him. We're going to have Margie Burns reporting from the Libby trial. She was there this afternoon, I understand. John Bonifaz is going to be talking to us about the case down in Florida, the Florida 13 election. Still disputed, by the way, in case you haven't noticed. Oh, man, we've got plenty to cover. And we want you to join us, if you can, get in between all of those guests. 1-888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. As I say, I am Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger from bradblog.com. PBC fans may recognize me. I'm a frequent guest for Peter on Fridays, actually, the last hour of the day on Fridays. And so you may know me. I talk a lot about election reform issues with Peter, certainly on the blog. We do all kinds of bad guy stomping over at bradblog.com. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to have to get an open thread up there, Desi. Remind me. We'll get an open thread over at bradblog.com. So you can give us your comments there or via brad@bradblog.com. And by the way, as we're going to be talking about the Fairness Doctrine in a bit, I'd love to hear from you if you agree with me. I'd love to hear from you if you think George W. Bush is a criminal and ought to be thrown out of office and put in jail. But I'd even like to hear from you more if you don't agree with me, if you think I'm full of it, and if you want to come on and give us the reason why. Whether I or any of our guests this afternoon are full of it, that's 1-888-5-PETER-B. One of the things I want to actually talk about is going to sort of pervade the afternoon and evening here is, I'll tell you, the wheels are coming off this thing. You may not have noticed if you're watching Fox News or MSNBC or CNN or ABC, NBC or anything else. If you're not reading the blogs, if you're not really looking at what's going on out there, you may not have noticed. And that's one of the problems with the lack of the Fairness Doctrine that we're going to talk to Congressman Hinchey about. But I'll tell you, I noticed this about, I think it was Thursday or Friday of last week. And I started, I was looking over at the blogs, Talking Points, Memo. I was looking what's going on with the Libby trial. I was reading Ross story, all the actual news sources that give you news, not the stuff you get on CNN. And man, am I going to try to beat the crap out of them later. This Iran thing on CNN. Anyway, we'll get to that. But what I noticed over the last couple of days, week or so, the wheels are coming off. The noose is tightening. I don't care what they tell you. Impeachment is off the table, as Nancy Pelosi said before the election. John Conyers indicated something similar. But they may think it's off the table. I disagree. The heat is building. You've got these hearings that we're going to talk about later with David Swanson on these signing statements in the Judiciary Committee, now headed by the good John Conyers. He also announced earlier today, I believe, that they're going to be having hearings in that same Judiciary Committee on torture. Torture? Yes, we torture. Yes, we all know that. Is it reported by the mainstream media? Of course not. Will they be able to, will they have to report on it when it's in a public hearing, in John Conyers' hearing room? Well, we'll find out. They should. I'll report it. But I think the facts that are going to come out are going to be unavoidable. You've got Feingold over in the Senate Judiciary Committee looking at Congress's power to stop a war. You've got growing heat from the Senate over the Iraq escalation nonsense. You've got plummeting polls for Bush. This Libby trial, one thing after another is coming out. We're going to talk to Margie Burns about that a little bit later on. She's our special bradblog.com special correspondent. There's a lot of stuff coming out at that Libby trial. And the fact, in fact, yesterday we saw a handwritten note from Dick Cheney that implicates the prez, as he puts it, this prez, as trying to protect Karl Rove. Handwritten note, it's crossed out. You can actually look at the note over at bradblog.com. Truthout.org has it. It's clear that the White House was trying to protect Rove, but it seems to me that Libby doesn't give a damn about protecting anyone at this point other than himself. And what's clear, is becoming more clear, is that the president knew what was going on, despite his statements, despite those of Ari Fleischer, Scotty McClellan, all kinds of other people. You've got the situation with these U.S. attorneys now who are being fired by the Department of Justice. They're pushing them out, asking them to leave, bringing in new people of their own that do not have to be confirmed in the Senate because Arlen Specter snuck in this little provision into the Patriot Act while no one was looking. Did Specter know what he was doing? I don't know. Was he doing a favor for the White House? I don't know. But I suspect we're going to find out because folks in Congress, now that they've learned about it, are not happy. One of the things we've discovered because of that is that you can have a Senate confirmation hearing, approve one of these U.S. prosecutors that have been appointed by the Bush team, and then they can be removed, and you can bring in their own friends, their own cronies, who are not qualified for the job in any way, and they'll never face a Senate hearing. There is no Senate oversight, at least as far as the Bush administration is concerned. So that's a concern, and that is now coming out. You've got the Iraq Inspector General now, who's finding that there was waste and fraud in Iraq. Inspector General coming out saying we've wasted millions of dollars. Waxman's going to be having hearings on that. There's a Senate Intel report still to come, the one which Cheney has fought to stop. Well, that one is going to come, and it concerns the way the administration tried to manipulate the intelligence prior to the war. That's coming out in the Libby trial, too. So all of these things are sort of coming to a head right now. I think the noose is growing tighter, whether anybody has noticed or not. I have. The blogs have. And as usual, the rest of the media is just going to have to wake up and catch up with the rest of us. But it's happening, whether you realize it or not. And so we're going to talk a lot about that throughout the day. And I'm going to ask some of our guests whether they think Bush or Cheney and or Cheney are actually going to survive this term. I don't think they will. We're going to find out. We're going to come back with Congressman Maurice Hinchey, going to talk about the fairness doctrine. Because, frankly, the mess that I just described, all of these things that are happening, all of these things that should have been reported for the last 6 years haven't been reported. Why? Because we lost the fairness doctrine, because Ronald Reagan got rid of it in 1987, didn't think we needed it. Well, we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more as we continue for the next 3 hours on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your friendly citizen blogger, Brad Friedman, sitting in. We'll be back with the congressman right after this.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
So, where do you want to break the ice here, or bed?
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
One Day Income Tax Service, family owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Collins Show. I don't know if video killed the radio star, but getting rid of the fairness doctrine made the radio star. At least guys like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, Fox News, and all of those guys who wouldn't be there, I suspect, if it weren't for the death of the fairness doctrine by Ronald Reagan back in 1987. To talk about that and perhaps restoring it, we're joined by the progressive Democrat representing New York's 22nd district, as Colbert would say, the fighting 22nd. It's in his eighth term now. Congressman Maurice Hinchey is joining us to talk about the Media Ownership Reform Act, which may restore a lot of those things that have been done away with as of 1987. Congressman, thank you for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you, Brad, for having me on. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I'll tell you, thanks much. I'll tell you, I back in 04, I got to tell you, I was not a huge fan of John Kerry, but I was hoping, if nothing else, that he would win so that I could start hammering on him and on the Democrats and everyone else to get this fairness doctrine restored. Now, give us an idea, Congressman, if you could. Why is this important, and do we have a chance of actually getting this back? Now the Congress is in the control of Democrats.
Well, we have a chance of moving it forward. And with the veto of the president, it's very unlikely, frankly, that we have a chance of passing it during this administration into law. But we do have an opportunity to advance it in the Congress. And if we are able to advance it in the Congress and it gets enough attention and the American people begin to understand what is really at stake here, then if we generate enough support, it's possible that it could be passed to the Congress and perhaps even signed into law by this administration.
With that kind
of public support.
Well, you mentioned that the President, George Bush, might want to veto it here. Now, why would George W. Bush be against this? Why would Fox News be against this? Because, after all, are you not calling for the restoration of fairness and balance in the media, something you would think Fox News and those guys would be in favor of, Congressman?
Well, they're really opposed to that, of course.
What?
As you know,
I had no idea.
They're not in favor of fair and balanced at all. What they're in favor of is a kind of a propaganda approach to the dissemination of information. To give you one particular point of view, framing it in different ways, but presenting the same perspective on the important issues that confront our country over and over again. And that's what we're facing here. And that's why the Fairness Doctrine was put into place. It was put into place after the Second World War. And in part, it was put into place based upon the experience of the Second World War. What we saw happening in Europe was the rise of fascism. Fascism in countries like Italy, Germany, Spain, other countries. And the way that the fascist governments were successful there was to dominate the communication system. Radio was a relatively new, pretty brand new medium in those days, back in the 1930s and 40s.
Right.
And the government of those countries and others in Europe were able to do was to control the broadcast system. And by controlling the broadcast system, they were able to present information that was distorted and one-sided over and over again to the people of those countries, and thereby force them in ways into believing the kinds of things that they were being presented.
So when the FCC put in the Fairness Doctrine or began enforcing it back in, I think it was 1949, was it actually 47? Was it in a direct response to what they saw going on over there in Europe with the government control of the stations out there?
Yes, it was. In part, it was based upon the experience of World War II and the way in which we saw governments being corrupted throughout Europe. And the idea was that if you have a democratic republic such as ours, the most important thing about sustaining a democratic republic is to have a free, open, and fair discussion of the issues, an opportunity for a broad diversity of opinions to be broadcast out so that people can hear them, understand them, and then make their own decisions upon based upon the information that they receive and what they know and believe and understand. But if you're getting the same thing over and over again, of course, then you control not just the information that people receive, but ultimately you control the ideas that they have and the behavior that people carry out based upon those ideas.
And do you suspect that we could have what we have today? That we would it be possible? And actually, a two-part question here. First, I don't think the people understand that this was meant to regulate the public airwaves, and that stations, broadcast stations, are actually leasing the airwaves from the public station that is owned from the public airwaves that are owned by the American people. That's one question that I have. Do you think people understand that? And secondly, do you think we could have had folks like Rush and all of these guys were it not for the dissolution of the Fairness Doctrine?
Well, I think people do understand that, but I think it's something that has really faded from public view. Back in 1934, when the Federal Communications Commission was established, one of its basic premises was that the public broadcasting system was not owned by any individual or any corporation or any complex of individuals or corporations. The public broadcasting system was owned by the American people, by the general public. And in order to broadcast over it, you had to be licensed by the federal communication system. And by being licensed, you had to carry out your license in a way that was consistent with the benefit of the public. You had to provide information to them. You had to provide diversity, different points of view. If you had a political point of view and you were the owner of a radio station or a broadcaster on a radio station, you had every right to express that political point of view. But if others in the area to which you were broadcasting had other perspectives or other different points of view, there had to be some opportunity for those different perspectives and different points of view to be presented as well. You couldn't just feed out one idea over and over again, or one perspective over and over again, still be complying with the interest of the general public and our form of government, the Democratic Republic. So that's why the FCC was established, to make it clear that the broadcast spectrum was owned by the general public, and anyone who was licensed to broadcast over it had to conduct themselves in a way that was consistent with openness, with democracy, with freedom, and with the energy and proper perspective to provide various and different, even antagonistic, points of view.
Congressman, I've got to hit a hard break here. I know it's getting late out there. Are you able to stick with us for one more segment, or do you have to run?
No, I can stick with you for a
bit. I'd love to have you. We got a caller coming up. Thanks. We're going to be right back. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. This is Brad Friedman with Congressman Maurice Henschy. More in about 3.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
This is Laura Pruneda, Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Prunetta of Prunetta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunettaRealEstate.com.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Or have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
Rocking, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com, sitting in for the mighty PBC. We're speaking with Congressman Maurice Hinchey from New York's 22nd, fighting 22nd, and about the Fairness Doctrine. He is rocking the house, as far as I'm concerned, with the Media Ownership Reform Act. Congressman, has it? I know you you dropped the legislation last session. Have you yet filed the new version for the 110th Congress?
No, we have not. And what we're doing now is working with the Senate and with other members of the Congress in both houses to produce a bill that we can agree on and that will be introduced in both the Senate and the House so that it has a better chance of passing both houses. And we think that we're going to be able to do that. We had a meeting just the other day, in fact, in Washington, just yesterday, in fact. Where we talked about this, and we are now constructing that legislation based upon the bill that I introduced last year.
Are you able to tell us who you're working with in the Senate, sir?
Well, we're working with a number of people. Byron Dorgan. We're working with.
In other words,
Sherrod
I want to know.
Brown.
Who...
We're working with.
Sherrod Brown. Good. I want to know who to support over there, because I think I got to tell you, I think nothing is more important, and folks overlook this, and I don't think they understand just how important this is. I don't know if you were listening earlier in the show, going through one thing after another that this administration has gotten away with for years. I don't think any of that stuff could have happened in the old days if there actually was fairness and balance out there. And I know your bill also is going to deal with the media conglomerate. And the ownership of five huge media groups out there that seem to own just about the entire media. But I think this underscores really everything and the mess that we've gotten ourselves into. Am I off base there?
No, I think you make a very excellent point. We all across the country now, more and more people are finally, years later, beginning to understand how the administration manipulated information through the existing media and how much of the corporate-owned media was compliant with the administration in many ways, and how it was very difficult to get an alternative point of view out there with regard to the information that the administration was presenting on the rationale for invading Iraq, for example, which is the classic example, because they, in fact, fabricated all of that information. We know now, I mean, some of us knew then, I voted against the resolution back in October of 2002 because I knew that what they were saying was untrue, that there was no connection between Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. There was no relationship between Iraq and the attack of September 11th. There were no evidence of weapons of mass destruction, so-called chemical and biological weapons, that the allegations that the administration made that Iraq had been importing enriched uranium from Niger were completely false. They were based upon documents that were stolen from the Rome embassy and forged. We knew that. But it was very difficult for a lot of people across the country to get that information and know it. And apparently, obviously, it was even different for members of the Congress because so many of them voted for it. Enough of them voted for it to pass the resolution to authorize the attack against Iraq when it was completely unjustified.
Yeah, and I think, Congressman, that is still going on today. I think that we see a lot with the Democrats that they're frightened. Not frightened of what they know what they need to do, but I think they're frightened that they go out, they speak out, and they know they are going to get hammered by the conservative media. I drive all across the country. We listen to the stations. You'll hear four or five levels deep of conservative talk radio. And good luck finding a non-conservative talk radio out there. And I think that has had a direct effect on members of the House and Senate as far as what they're willing to do, how far they're willing to go and to speak up, because they know that anything they say, they're going to get hammered, even if it's by a bunch of nonsense on conservative talk radio. Am I right about that? Do you get a sense that there is a concern about that from these Congress members?
Well, I think a lot of people have been intimidated by those kind of talk shows, particularly people like Hannity, those kinds of guys have intimidated a lot of people. But true conservatives, people who are really conservative, what does conservative mean? It means that you want to conserve. You want to protect the basic principles of our government. You want to protect free and open democratic republic. Real conservatives now are beginning to understand that these neoconservatives, these radical right-wingers, are not interested in conserving anything. They're interested in destroying the basic principles of this country. And then again, you have people like Rush Limbaugh, for example, who are increasingly showing themselves to be clowns rather than people who are interested in putting out the right kind of information. He's a guy that is interested in making money, and he's just banging away with the stuff that he does only for that reason, because of the profits that they make by selling their stuff to people who will buy into it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think the situation is beginning to change, and I think it's changing not just from progressives or liberals, but I think real, true conservative people across this country are realizing also what kind of damage these phonies are doing in the way that they use the broadcast media system.
Yeah, that's the only question. Will the conservatives, the real conservatives, have to come on to balance out the phony conservatives under the fairness doctrine? Let me take one quick call before I let you go, Congressman, if I could. We've got Bill in Phoenix for the Congressman. Bill, welcome to the PBC show.
Thank you, Fred. Congressman Hinchey,
yes,
I'd like to thank you very much as a longtime resident of your district for taking up this matter. And I'd like to assure America that in your hands it will get due diligence.
Calling from Phoenix?
Yeah. I've lived in Saugerties all my life. I'm in Phoenix now.
Yeah.
But I just want America to know that in your capable hands it will get due diligence, this issue, and that I know you to be a man of your word, and that's why I'm sure this matters to you, because words matter.
Well, thank you very much. I very much appreciate that call.
See, they're coming out here to listen to you now, Congressman. That's what they have to do to get your voice on the air the way it should be. I was watching Fox News. They were talking about this bill. I don't think they were talking to you, but it was incredible. Both Hannity and Combs were beating up the idea, saying that this is about government controlling the media. Before I let you go, do you have any thoughts on that point of view, that clearly the fake conservatives are the line they're using to fight this thing?
Yeah, well, that's the neocon approach to it. The government is not going to control the media in the sense that the government is not going to control what people say. But what the government has the responsibility to do is to make sure that the broadcast system is open, free, and fair, and that there are alternative points of view that are available to all of the people across the country. You can't restrict information in any way, whether it's far left or far right or something else. You've got to have a free, open, and fair information distribution system across the country. And that's what's really at stake here, and these people don't want that. All they want is to continue with the programs that they put forward because it's been productive for them, productive economically, financially for them. And although one can understand that, that's not in the best interest of the country. What's in the best interest of the country is to make sure that we have a real free and open debate on issues and that everybody gets a chance to present their opinions, their point of view, their perspective, and then all of us can make our own judgments based upon the broad base of all of that information rather than just a narrow sector of it.
Indeed, and making the fight for to return fairness and balance to the media is the fact that the media is not fair and balanced right now. So this is going to be a tough fight. But, Congressman, I want to thank you for what you're doing and let you know you can count on me and bradblog.com anytime to support what you're up to, because at least in the blogs, you got a fighting chance, Congressman.
Well, Brad, thanks a lot. I appreciate talking to you.
Really appreciate you stopping by. Thank you, sir, and good luck. All right, we're going to be back shortly. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back with John Aravosis of AmericaBlog.com. He's got a lot coming up. Oh, I got to say, real quick, before we go to the break, tomorrow, live, Town Hall Forum, Election Integrity. I should have said that before. 3 hours at the, where are we going to be? The Plumbers and Pipefitters Union Hall, 24th Street and... where? And
Earl.
And Earl, 24th Street and Earl, just north of Thomas out here in Phoenix, where we are filling in for PBC for the next 2 days. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, back after this.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has 3 locations to serve you better wherever you live. All 3 locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective here on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Actually, that's not what I meant to play, but maybe Neil Young is trying to tell me something there. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I am your friendly citizen, investigative journalist, blogger, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, sitting in for the vacationing PBC today, broadcasting out of 1480 KPHX in Phoenix. Couldn't be happier about it, and couldn't be happier about our next guest who's joining us. The great, the mighty, John Aravosis, a Washington, D.C.-based lawyer, writer, and political consultant, owner and editor of the Progressive website. Oh, I think I've heard of this. AmericaBlog.com. Have a feeling you might have heard of it, too. If you haven't, I don't know what cave you've been living in. But hey, John, how are you, sir?
Hey, Brad. Doing well.
Good to talk to you, finally. And thanks. You're on the East Coast. You're in D.C., right?
Exactly.
All right, so you're staying up late for us, because I know you like to get to bed at 6:30 or 7 out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know me.
I know you. So things hopping over at America Blog as usual, my friend?
Oh, you know, just never a lack of news to tick us off.
No, wouldn't it be nice to have a slow news day, John? I mean, wouldn't that be great? It doesn't happen anymore.
It's funny. Well, I mean, in a good way now. Well, it's funny, actually. I shouldn't say in a good way now. I was going to say, like, the news is all positive that the Dems took over. It's better.
Right.
Not quite well yet, but, you know, we're working on it.
Yeah, it's starting at least to move in the right direction. You had a great story today. This is just unbelievable. You know, I was talking to Congressman Hinchey before the break about the Fairness Doctrine and just how out of whack, how out of balance this country has become, the media has become, what these bad guys are able to get away with. The only place to even the score, I would contend, is in the blogosphere, even now. And you had a great story trying to even the score today on what the religious right wackos are up to again in response to this. This huge protest that took place last weekend that nobody really knows about. But what did, because the media didn't report it. You want to fill us in on what these guys did, the American Family Association? Unbelievable.
Yeah, basically it was the American Family Association and the Family Research Council, which are two of the largest religious right groups. And you know, their sort of MO for everything they do is trying to find little itty bitty stories that they can blow out of proportion to make you look bad. You know, and they typically do it with gays and lesbians, but of course they've decided to branch out to the Democratic Congress because, you know, because they're nonpartisan.
Well, that's right.
So they always have to look for stories to attack Democrats because that's what nonpartisan people do.
That's right.
Well, they thought they had a twofer this weekend because they could take some bizarre little story and slam the anti-Iraq protesters and at the same time Nancy Pelosi. And basically, small group of protesters, and according to the chief of police for the Capitol Police, it's a small fringe group that they knew about that basically likes to get violent and cause conflicts and everything else. Anyway, small group of these guys go and try to storm the Capitol. The cops are like, I don't think so. And they stop them from doing it, not violent. You know, it was actually done quite well by the police. Well, later they find out that a couple of these guys scratched on the sidewalk with, like, you know, chalk or charcoal or something. A couple, like five of them, wrote a couple little things on the sidewalk, like anarchist symbols or something.
Let me get that straight. On the sidewalk near the Capitol.
On the sidewalk, in the public area of the Capitol, meaning on the mall, basically.
Like, now, was that spray paint on the sidewalk, John, as far as you know?
It was something black that either looked like somebody used their heel or charcoal. I saw the pictures online.
So it was charcoal potential. Oh, there's photographs online. Charcoal on the sidewalk near the Capitol.
Charcoal on sidewalk. You know, never, I mean, and it didn't look like one of those little jump rope things.
Right.
I mean, it could have been.
Yeah.
You know, one of those where you ever get through the little thing when you were a kid. What are we used to call
that? Hopscotch. It was like a hopscotch.
Yeah, yeah. But in this case, it was an anarchist symbol. Oh! Well, of course, the religious right flips out. They do. The thing is, here's the thing. Small, stupid story, whatever. They send action alerts to all of their lists. We're talking American Family Association claims it has 3 million members on its email list. Okay?
Right.
Not a small number.
Right.
And tell people to call the Congress and bitch at Nancy Pelosi because the Capitol Police allowed these demonstrators to come up on the steps of the Capitol and deface the Capitol steps. They watched them do the graffiti, but they told their officers, don't you dare arrest them because maybe Nancy Pelosi wouldn't like it.
And this was the headline. I'm reading the subject line here. War protesters allowed spray paint the U.S. Capitol.
Yeah.
Capitol Chief of Police tell officers not to arrest anyone.
Yeah. Now, total, basically, I mean, at first you'd be like, okay, crazy story anyway. The thing is, they got CNN to pick it up. They got a lot of the media to pick up the story, of course, about how, you know, gosh, A, the war protesters, what bad people. You know, it was like, I saw the picture. It was like 50 people out of, you know, 50 or 100,000, or 200,000, whatever it was, you know.
Right.
But the best part was the Capitol Police are very bad people who just sat there and said, we can't stop the evil protesters from defacing the Capitol. And then, of course, they blamed it on Nancy Pelosi because, you know, maybe she ordered them. Because, you know, you can imagine Nancy there in her red Prada pumps saying,
right,
you know, don't you dare arrest anybody.
Yes,
I don't care if they're killing people.
Yes, so, Commandant Pelosi is giving orders to the police.
Yes. Well, bottom line is, They sicked these people. Some of the conservative blogs picked it up and thought, hey, what a great idea. Let's have people actually call the Capitol Police and lock up their phones with people calling them and bitching about this. Hey, good idea to do to the people who are responsible for, you know, stopping the terrorists from killing our members of Congress. Let's just lock up their phone lines so no Hill office can actually call them when there's a problem.
So the wing nuts are actually calling and complaining to the Capitol Police about this.
Exactly. Well, Capitol Police Chief finally has to put out a statement saying, totally not true. We didn't even see these guys doing this or we would have stopped them. It wasn't on the Capitol steps. They were in the public area of the mall where anybody can go day or night. You know, they didn't get special access. They didn't do it on the Capitol steps. We didn't order our cops not to arrest them. And if we'd seen them doing it, we would have arrested them. Well, what's annoying about this, of course the religious right lies, that isn't news. But, of course, they try to create a stink. They make people's lives miserable. And at the same time, they convince the, you know, the mainstream media to pick up these stories and start to repeat them.
Well,
you know, what does this remind us of? 2000. Oh,
yeah.
Bill Clinton's people took all the W's off of the typewriters and they trashed the White House.
They trashed the White House. You mean that did not happen either?
Yeah, exactly. Well, later we find out an independent study goes, no, none of that really happened. But, you know, it's in the public lore.
Well, that's what's amazing. That they'll get CNN. It's bad enough. You know, we expect the wing nuts to do that. We expect the Bush administration to try to lie. But the fact that they are, that the media, and I'm not talking about Fox News. We expect it from them, too. But I'm talking about CNN. I'm talking about MSNBC. They pick up this stuff. The power that these groups, like the American Family Association, Family Research Council, seem to have over the media, I don't get it. I mean, you know, I know you trying to get, you know, the great work you did on the Jeff Gannon story, for example, trying to get that out originally, and so many others, so many of the innumerable stories that you've broken over at America Blog, trying to get that. Good luck getting that on CNN, John.
Well, actually, I mean, to CNN's credit, we actually have gotten stories on CNN.
So eventually, yeah. But do you put out emails?
What's annoying with a lot of the media, though, Brett, is that they don't. These stories don't pass the smell test, and yet they run with them.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the problem, is we're not talking about, well, because actually one of the problems we've got with the media is they've got this crazy idea like, well, as long as we write a report or a story that criticizes Bush and criticizes the Democrats, then it's even.
Yeah.
We're like, well, yeah, the one criticizing Bush was real, the one attacking the Democrats was fake. That's not really even.
Yeah.
We'd rather have you do your job than play some weird game with scales.
Well, that's exactly right. This balance nonsense. The balance is, you know, tell one side that is lying and the other side that is telling the truth. That's not balance. That's just dishonesty. But they do it. They go for it. And, yeah, you get stories out there onto CNN eventually. But you cannot put out an email as these yeah, and have it picked up. I mean, it's just appalling. Hey, listen, I've got a quick question for you. before we have to go, and I know you have to go. Desi pointed me here to a story. Actually, this is Joe in D.C.'s story. It's pretty fresh. You may not have seen it yet. I don't know. Tony Snow suggesting that the U.S. Senate is inviting bin Laden to hit us again.
Yeah, yeah. Tony Snow, our wonderful White House spokesman. You all know him. Today, CNN, and actually, again, CNN did a good thing on this one. You know, they reported Tony Snow's comment, referring to the resolutions being discussed in the Senate right now about, you know, Bush's little surge, you know, the little Bush-McCain escalation plan in Iraq.
Yeah.
Tony Snow says, Osama bin Laden thought that a lack of American resolve was a key reason why he could inspire people to come after us on September 11th. Now, first of all, whatever, maybe that's true, who knows. I am not accusing members of the Senate of inviting carnage on the United States of America.
Oh, man, inviting carnage, he said?
But I'm not. I am not accusing, it's like saying, Brad, I'm not accusing you of being a pedophile, okay?
Right.
But...
Right. Unbelievable.
So he's not accusing members of the Senate of inviting carnage on the United States of America. I'm simply saying you think about what impact it may have.
Oh, man.
Now, well, I mean, and Joe always likes to point out the fact, which is, oh, you mean Osama bin Laden, the guy you haven't caught yet?
Yeah.
You mean the guy that Bush said, I don't think about him.
I don't
him
think
very much,
much about
that
him.
That guy?
Yeah.
Just want to make sure.
Man, it's just unbelievable, what they do. And, thank God you're around and the blog's around to at least try to even the score.
And talk radio.
And talk, yeah.
I forget to give credit to that one, Florent.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Talk radio, that's right. hey, listen, a quick question for you before we got to go to a hard break and say goodbye to you. Is Dick Cheney and or George Bush going to survive this term? John, getting you on record here.
I really think it's going to be quite interesting to see where Bush is in a year. Because as much as people say, 2 years and he's out, he's going to really tick people off this year. And forget the left. I'm talking people in the middle and even people on the right.
Yeah.
It will just be very interesting in a year if he's still playing these to hell with the polls. Because the polls are 70% of the American people and what they really think. They're not polls. They're people.
Yeah.
And I'll be very curious to see where he is in a year because I could very easily see people in a year finally going, you know what? I don't like the idea of impeachment, but I want him gone.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be gone.
You show that actually. I think it was like 56% or something of people said they just wish his presidency was over now.
They do. I'm on record here, here and now. I don't think Cheney's going to make it through the end of the year. I think he's going to resign.
Health and whether just he has to resign just because he's also an idiot. But I think the Bush thing is more important in the sense of whether he just loses so much face because he's so standing up against. Just taking the public on it, like stuff like this. They're just taking the public on.
It's going to be a crazy year. I got to run. John Aravosis from AmericaBlog.com. Thanks for jumping in, my friend. Appreciate it. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.